So, switching over to the great state of Texas, we've also recently amended the Texas Labor Code on this topic, right? And there's five key takeaways from these three amendments to the Texas Labor Code. The first is that it now applies to employers of all sizes, right? Many of you are familiar with the idea that for particular laws to apply to a company, it had to have at least a minimum number of employees. Well, newsflash, friends, if it's sexual harassment, you can have one employee and the law applies. So that's a big change, obviously trying to open that up to everybody. The second takeaway is that really a codification of what I think case law has said, which is the employer's got to take immediate and appropriate corrective action once you learn. Okay. I don't think that that's really new. What's new is the third bullet point, individual liability. But there's two parts to that that I think really ought to catch your attention this morning. The first part is that you can have individual supervisor liability if you're there, or individual liability if you're the alleged harasser. Okay, I don't think that that's such a big stretch, and I don't necessarily think that maybe that's a great deterrent. But where it's new is, and if you're a supervisor and you don't take corrective action, you can be held individually liable. And I think if you told that to a lot of your managers, their eyes would go cartoon big, ooh, right? I think that's a big change, and I think you all need to know that, that that's a potential issue of personal liability, because I think people will pay attention to this very differently knowing that to be the case. Fourth takeaway, they've extended the time frame for filing these claims from 180 to 300 days to making so that you have a longer period of time to do that. And then the last takeaway is that you've got to have sexual harassment policies. And Texas has now joined the string of states such as California and New York that was requiring some level of training. Okay? And so just again, keep that's a good takeaway for you to know. Let's look at some of the new numbers. This is from the EEOC, from the Annual Performance Report and the Enforcement and Litigation Statistics. So the EEOC is now in rebuilding mode. They've got 2,100 employees with expected to have 2,300 by year end. Increase in their budget by $45 million, so they're clearly ramping up. Right? There's been a 24% increase in enforcement suits filed in 2021 over 2020. That's still down from below prior years, okay? But you can see where the trend is going. Increased staff, increased budget, increased lawsuits. So you're going to see more and more of this happening. Interesting, a little bit of good news for employers, and I think we can all guess why, and there's a decrease in the number of new charges filed. It's down 9.1%. If you ask me why do I think that is, I'll tell you why I think that is, because everybody's been working from home. So I think that that helps. I think that there is still a lot of opportunity for these types of things to happen, furloughs, layoffs, right? And we'll talk about this towards the end of the presentation when I talk about the court system and some things that we are seeing statistically about juror attitudes. But there's the pending charges is up 2%. I think that that's more of a backlog issue. That's my personal guess. What's getting filed most often? Retaliation. 56% of all charges have a retaliation component. And here's the key takeaway for me on that. You can all envision a situation where, for example, we did a layoff and it said, oh, look at, you affected everybody who was age protected, or you affected a disproportionately large number of people of a particular color or gender, right? But people don't look at retaliation as incidental. They look at retaliation as intentional. Okay, it's intentional conduct by whoever the actors were, and that means that you're much more likely to face claims for compensatory and punitive damages. So up over the last period of time is retaliation, disability, no surprise there, race, color, national origin, and age, and down is sex, religion, equal pay, and genetic information, with 3,600 COVID-related cases is what the EEOC is reporting. Recoveries declined in the private sector claims from, this is a big number, from $106 million down to $34 million. I can't tell you exactly how they're getting that statistic. Obviously, if you have a private claim that you settle with an employee or a former employee, you don't report that to the EEOC, and you certainly don't report the number. So I'm assuming that these numbers are numbers that are garnered from the EEOC through their conciliation and ADR process. But there's been an increase in the amount that's been recovered when the EEOC is involved in enforcement proceedings. So by states, where are we seeing the most charges? Well, Texas, we're number one. Florida is number two. So I think that's an interesting statistic. I will tell you, I did not expect that. I expected to see New York or California as number one and not Texas, but lo and behold, there we are. So again, something just to keep in mind. EEO1 reports, that may not apply to many of you here, but I know it does to some. And if you're not familiar with the EEO1 report, it's a report that you have to file if you have 100 or more employees that provide statistical data by job title, compensation, and other related data such as race, ethnicity, gender, et cetera. Okay? And this has been all over the board. If you remember, there were several years ago where your EEO1 was a single page, right? And then I remember when this first came out under the Obama administration, I was actually standing up here and I was speaking, and they said, and now we want you to give all of this information. We literally strewn out like this long, huge string of paper that was 30 feet long of like, now you got to fill in all that data. And everybody was starting to pull their hair out. And then the Trump administration came in and said, nope, don't want you to do any of it. And they shut it all down. And then there was some litigation out of Washington, D.C. that said, no, you can't do that either. You can't go cold turkey. You've got to have some EEO1 reports filed. And then that's made its way through the litigation system. And now the Biden administration has said, yes, we're bringing back the EEO1. May 17, 2022 is the deadline for filing those.